Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
I would like if you refer to me as Sir.
Sir Marek Larwood.
No, just Sir.
Sir.
This is Sir.
That doesn't work, does it?
No, you don't say this is Sir.
This is Mr. Larwood.
Hello, Sir.
Hello, Sir. Thank you for joining me, Sir.
Yes, David.
It's going to be a very different podcast now, isn't it?
Shut up! Take off your pants and trousers.
In that order?
Yes. That would be the worst punishment, wouldn't it?
Take off your pants, then
There's
trousers.
There's nothing worse than... And it's bad enough for being ordered to take off your trousers and pants off, but...
By a headmaster.
Yeah.
But to pants take your pants then trousers.
It's just demeaning.
It is.
Well, if you're a first-time listener, you've probably stopped listening by now.
Bye! This is Film Fandango. We're going to be talking about current releases and then some films that our listeners have recommended to us as well.
And the sexual antics of headmasters.
That's right. Did your headmaster have any sexual antics that you know of?
Not that I know of, no.
My headmistress at primary school really liked young boys' legs.
What?
She was called Mrs. Cadell. And we were forced as uniform to wear short shorts. And when she visited the secondary school, no, the juniors, so she was an infant teacher and visited the juniors. I remember hearing her remarking to another teacher, "Where are all the lovely bare legs?"
Oh, God.
It's a bit creepy.
I did that when I was a little kid, wear shorts all year round at school.
Yeah.
Mental.
Why is it?
It's gone now. They don't do that shit anymore,
no,
do they?
Well, I don't know. I've not loitered around a kid's playground for a long time.
If you have loitered around kids' playgrounds, why not write in and tell us what the situation with shorts is?
Yeah, do kids still have to wear shorts all the time? I don't know. She was a bit of a legend, the headmistress from my infant school, because back in the day, in the 80s, this was allowed... there was a nettles patch at the bottom of the playground to attract butterflies.
I might interrupt you quickly. That screaming of children in the background is the children in the playground outside your flat.
Yeah, there's a playground inside the estate where I live.
Just
so
the context
not,
of what us talking about.
We're
that.
Not sitting on a park bench overlooking a kid's playground.
Talking about shorts this. While the kids are screaming in the background.
That is not that kind of podcast. I mean, yeah. It nearly is, but it's not that kind
the
of net, podcast.
So back to the nettles
Yeah,
story.
So there was a nettles patch to attract butterflies. And one a boy threw another boy into the nettles patch, like head first.
Good.
He was covered head to toe in stings. So, as a punishment, our headmistress threw him in.
Wow!
Yeah.
That is a brilliant...
He came into assembly the next day, the most sheepish boy ever. Like,
stings really hurt. Yeah. My little brother told me that, because when I was working with him in the woods, which I do... To supplement my filth.
I know, you live in the woods, yeah. You're a woodsman.
I got stung by a nettle. And this is in February.
Yeah.
Really stung for ages.
Oh, they do.
Because it's the worst time to get stung.
Yeah.
In February, when they're just coming through.
Yes.
The very first nettles, so they're very poisonous.
Well, imagine that, but like 100 times over
yeah,
your whole
body.
Yeah, if
you get stung in August, if it's like September time.
Yeah.
It's a lot less.
Oh, is it? They lost their potency.
So I really wanted to know the time of the year that he was thrown.
I remember it being spring, I think.
Yeah, the worst time.
Yeah, it'd be bad. But anyway, speaking of violent ladies, I went to see the film Prevenge this week. Which is the latest film from writer, director, actor Alice Lowe, who you may know from Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, or Sightseers, the Ben Wheatley directed film with Steve Oram, again about a violent couple. Prevenge, if you don't know, is about a woman who is heavily pregnant, probably about 7 months, and she's feeling like she's losing control of her body and she's no longer in the driving seat, and her baby, her unborn baby, is telling her to do things.
And Alistair was actually pregnant when she filmed this.
She was 5 months pregnant when she wrote it. She was 7 months pregnant when they filmed it. They filmed the whole thing in 11 days.
Yeah.
I mean, that is... I don't know if anyone has experience of a film set, but they can be long, uncomfortable days, because you have to spend a lot of time on your feet or just waiting around on uncomfortable chairs on the set or whatever. And yeah, I mean,
in Whiplash was filmed in 17 days, which is incredible, but direct and star in a film and be 7 months pregnant.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a very violent film because the baby is basically telling her to kill.
And Gemma Whelan's in it.
This is one of the weirdest things for me about it, was that nearly everyone who's murdered is somebody I know. So I won't tell you who dies and who doesn't, but the cast include Gemma Whelan, Camden Kong's, the First Lady of Wolfsball.
Wolfsball player, yeah.
Gemma Whelan. Tom Davis from Murder and Successful, thank you. Mike Wozniak is in it. Tom Meaton is in it. Kate Dickey is in it from Game of Thrones. And also Joe Hartley, who's absolutely brilliant. If you know This Is England, she plays Sean's mum in that. She's always got the big glasses.
Oh, okay.
I think she's absolutely brilliant, Joe Hartley. But she's her nurse in this. And Kay Van Novak is also in it, as basically the ultimate goal of this revenge killing spree. Dan Skinner is in it as well. So it's a great ensemble cast of sort of comic actors from Britain, and Alice Lowe sort of assembled them into this grimy short story about a woman feeling she is no longer in control of her body.
Is it got the same feel as that
Sightseers?
Because all this lot from, there's a thing called Ealing Live.
That's right.
Which was a big group of comedians before we really came on the circuit.
Yeah, it all sort of wound up by the time we came on.
And they're all filmmakers. So Steve Oram, who did
And Sightseers. Yeah. He was in it, and Tony Way did stuff with them.
Yeah.
The Boosh guys were around that time,
they all sort of know each other. And they, for example, got Gareth Tunley.
Yes.
Who has done The Ghoul.
The Ghoul, starring Tom Meaton as well, which they're looking for distribution. I think they've just got into some cinemas now, but I've heard very good things about The Ghoul.
They've all got quite a similar sort of...
very dark aesthetic to it, you know. Really sort of want to get under your skin and creep you out.
So is this weird or scary?
Yeah, I would say... closer to weird than scary. I mean, you're seeing everything through the eyes of the killer, and so you're sort of trying to empathise with her while she becomes less and less human. But it's got a very sort of Alice Lowe, actually, mundane sense of humour at the same time as doing something so extraordinary. So it is very funny in places, you know. It's very good, but it feels very British and small at the same time as being sort of very heightened. But it's good. It's a good film. And to have written this and then shot it in 11 days, and just like, it's, well, you know, good luck to it, because it's, I mean, it's impressive. It's really impressive.
What's it like similar to then? Is it similar to Sightseers?
It's very similar to Sightseers, both in its themes and, you know, aesthetic and everything, I think. The feel of it, the sort of atmosphere is very similar. This has a bit more going on in terms of it, what it's about, because it's got this whole allegory for being pregnant to it. You know, if I had any criticism, I'd say that the script at times is a bit too much on the nose of telling you where we're at in the story, and we're told rather than shown sometimes. But that's very much a thing of taste, and the more time you have to develop the script, the more those slightly sharp edges get shaved off, which is, you know, like the famous story of Ryan Gosling taking a big red pen to the script for Drive. Mm. You know, it's just like, we don't need that, we don't need that, we can do that with looks, the music can do that, all of that. So there's a couple of those, for me, left in, you know, where we just go, yeah, no, I was following it. I didn't need to be led by the hand at that point, which seems odd for such a weird film. So at times it weirds you out, and then others it goes, no, we're here, we're okay. but apart from that, it's very engaging, you know.
Did it sustain the whole hour and a half?
Oh, definitely. I didn't get bored. I didn't get bored at all. And it does sort of build to a sort of fun climax as well. I feel like I'm watching a filmmaker slowly get better as well, which is quite exciting, because I believe Sightseers was Alice Lowe's feature debut as a writer and actor. And then she's taken the reins, presumably learnt some stuff from Ben Wheatley as well. And then, and it's playing with similar themes, but this feels like a slightly more interesting film. And then, you know, we'll see what the third one is, because that's when people's ideas come together the most, you know.
Did you watch it and think, oh shit, I should be making films?
Yeah, always, but I feel that whenever I watch a film. So,
but even more so when you know those are the people in it.
Yeah, well, that's weird. But they are a generation older than us, really, in terms of their place on when they were doing live comedy and what they've gone on to do. It's interesting, you should say it from the Ealing Live, but a lot of those guys, it's film, specifically film is what they want to do, you know, and they've poured all their energies into that. And they're very good at it as well, I think. I mean, all of them are good, you know, excellent actors.
Yeah.
But no, it's good, and it is very funny at times as well. Very funny. So I'd recommend it. It's only got a small release. I mean, even at the Picture House Central, you know, big old cinema with 12 screens or something in central London, it was on in one of its smaller screens on the top floor with only one screening.
Oh, really?
In the day, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and that was the only time it was on. Yeah. Which for a horror film is a bit weird. It's only on in, you know, just after, straight after lunch.
But
you know, so you might have to track it down to find it. But if you like sort of a bit of an esoteric, very British slasher, then go see this one. It is worth seeing.
All right then.
Well, it's probably time for this.
Alternative Oscars. It's the Oscars soon.
It's this Sunday, isn't it?
Well, Fran Jolly's written. I'll read this first of all. Hello again. I hope you're doing well. A nice intro.
No, I am doing all right. Yeah.
As we're now in award season, I look back at the past year's films and I thought about what awards I'd hand out. What would be your winnings for the following categories?
Okay.
These are mine. Film, Sing Street.
Interesting.
Director, Damien Chazelle, La La Land. Best Actor, Casey Affleck, Manchester by the Sea. Best Actress, Leia Costa, Victoria. Best Supporting Actress, Felicity Jones, Monster Calls. Best Supporting Actor, John Goodman, Cloverfield Lane. Best Animation, Zootropolis, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Best Foreign Film, Victoria. Thank you for reading. Love the podcast from the beginning. And say hi to Chris Webb, Buddy, and Danielle, and Simon. Who's Simon? Which Simon is that? Simon Fielder, maybe?
Possibly, I don't know.
Look forward to... I didn't read that last bit.
So, read those categories again. Who are we...
So, film, director, best actor, best actress, supporting actress, supporting actor, best animation, best foreign film.
Christ, there's a lot of categories, aren't there?
We'll pick these instead of the Oscars.
Sure, we don't have to go with their noms, do we?
Yeah, we're our own people.
We've got our own noms, thanks very much.
Yeah.
Well, best film, first off. I'm still, for the ones I've seen, A Monster Calls this year is my favourite, I think.
I'll go with that, but I also think Sing Street, that and Sing Street. The more I think about it, the more I'm determined that everyone should watch Sing Street.
We should have our own glitzy award ceremony, shouldn't we? The film Fandangies, and invite all of the A-listers to come along to a pub.
Where,
and we can
where
give
would
out,
you hold it?
I don't know. I mean, where can we get for free?
What can you give them as prizes?
We can get old DVDs and spray them gold. So it's basically a gold DVD box.
Yeah, or you could say, I tell you, we can get quite cheap.
What?
Potatoes.
They're quite cheap. Spray them gold.
So I'll tape a potato to the front of it.
How do you turn it into a sort of a thing you can put on your mantelpiece? We'll need to have something like in an egg cup. Can you get cheap
egg
cups?
No, you just get a DVD.
Yeah.
So I'll tape a potato to the front of it.
Yeah.
Spray it gold.
That's good, isn't
it? Who wouldn't want that?
No one wouldn't want it, no. Well, we'll have to do that.
Best director.
God, trying to remember. Who do you think deserves it? For...
I really like Damien Chazelle. I watched Whiplash again recently.
Yeah.
And I just think he's great. I think the director of Moonlight as well, I talked about last week, that Barry Jenkins
did
a good job. But I'll give it to Damien Chazelle.
Okay. I'm trying to think. I'm afraid I can't think of one.
Why not give it to the Hunt for the Wilder People bloke?
Oh, fucking Taika Waititi. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yes, good shout. I will. I was thinking about the director of Son of Saul, because that was beautifully directed.
Yeah.
And came out this year as well. But no, Taika Waititi. Done. So, best actor for you, Marek?
Well, he's suggested Casey Affleck. And you were saying before that you didn't know whether he did good acting or...
Yeah, or it was the people around him making him good. But no, I thought he was a good performance. That comes out wrong. But he wasn't the one moving me. He was doing a performance of restraint while everyone else filled in the gaps underneath, you know.
Yes, I watched a film where Casey Affleck was in a week after that Gone Baby Gone, quite an old film,
yeah.
10 years ago, where he plays a young detective. And it was quite sort of aggressive in that film, which made me think that he was doing good acting.
Okay.
In Manchester by the Sea. So, Casey Affleck, you can have that award.
Okay. Well, I would like to nominate Lewis McDougall, the boy at the centre of A Monster Calls.
Good. He needs...
Because he was brilliant for such a young lad holding such a dense part. I thought he was excellent.
I hope he wins it.
Yeah. Hope what? The Fandangies?
Yeah. I mean, he would appreciate that, wouldn't he? Yeah,
he'd have a lovely time with his potato and his DVD.
That'd be great. I almost want to nominate myself for one now.
Well, you have to be in a film, Mary.
Oh, it's so difficult these days.
Okay, best actress?
I had this one in my head, but you go first before I...
Well, I would... I think there have been quite a few good parts. I would probably go for Leia Costa from Victoria for Best Actress.
Same as he did.
Yes, because I thought she was absolutely hypnotic, and to carry a one-take film in such a way is a hell of a skill.
I would go for Hayley Squires from Daniel Blake, who I think carried that film. She was brilliant, since I think she's been overlooked as well.
Yeah. Do we have to do the supportings? Bit boring.
Well, Michelle Williams was really great.
I loved Michelle Williams in Manchester by the Sea. Best supporting actor, what do you reckon?
I want to give it to...
Who do you want to give it
Daniel
to?
Daniel Radcliffe for playing...
Do you?
Not really. I mean, it's quite funny that they're giving him an award for playing a dead man in Swiss Army Man.
Yeah, I'd like to give it to Owen Wilson for his performance in Lost in London, because I found him very funny, and I can't think of anyone else I've enjoyed in a supporting role.
Okay.
Maybe give it to Alan Tudyk for playing a robot in Rogue One.
No, he'd appreciate that, wouldn't
he? Yeah, he would.
Okay, and best animation?
I don't know if I've seen any animations this year.
I think Kubo and the Two Strings and Zootropolis.
Yeah, you've seen all the animations this
I think
year.
The fact that Kubo and the Two Strings was stop motion.
Yeah.
Makes it absolutely incredible.
Everyone's saying it's Zootropolis, aren't they?
But I...
Zootopia, whatever it's called.
Give it to Kubo and the Two Strings as in terms of it, the animation side of things.
Okay. And best foreign language film? Victoria. For me,
yeah, I agree.
It's got to be, really. Well, there you go. There are our nominations for the Fandangies.
enjoy the Oscars. Why didn't you?
Or don't. I mean, it's a terrible show. It's one of the worst shows on earth. Incredibly long, a stupid time at night, and there's almost nothing entertaining about it.
Oh, gosh.
And yet we talk about it every year.
Oh, gosh.
We've quickly done
a very brief Oscars one there.
Yeah, we have. That'll do. That'll do.
Okay, here's a quick email from Ben Evans. Do you want to read it?
Yes. Ben, what have you said? He says, hello there. I just randomly clicked on a Netflix film called Copenhagen, which I knew nothing about other than it was listed under romantic films. I didn't even stop to read the blurb. Anyway, it turned out it's pretty good.
He must have been in a bit of a rush then, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean,
he
really...
I want to watch a film right now.
Whoa! Then it...
I can't watch a film! Get out of the way, I need to watch a film!
My bus arrives in 92 minutes! It really messes with your head. It's a kind of will-they-won't-they thing, but you really don't want them to. I like that idea. But you also kind of do. But no, they shouldn't. It starts off fairly annoying, but becomes one to remember. It's a bit like Attack the Block is... In that way, but more like Once. So the film Attack the Block and the film Once. I haven't seen Once. I'm not doing a very good job of explaining it, but I think you should watch it and have your brain pulled in many directions like I did. 8 Bens.
Wow.
And that's signed Ben, your faithful jingle writer. So thank you, Ben, for
the... Some people like writing letters.
He also says, P.S. I've always loved your theme tune, and now you've explained it's David and Danielle, I like it even more. Is there any more to it? I'm afraid not, Ben. It was literally Danielle and I sitting in a room going, a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a, bling-bling. That's it. That's the entire song.
Talking of recommendations, we are continuing on our...
quest. I'd like to call it a quest.
That's good.
If I may.
I haven't been on
it. Our quest to watch all films. That's what this podcast is about.
And this is a recommendation back from the 3rd of January this year from Buck Redbuck.
Yeah.
Who recommended one of his favourite films, Rolling Thunder from 1977, starring William Devane and Tommy Lee Jones, playing troubled prisoner of war soldiers who return home from Vietnam to find themselves emotionally disconnected from loved ones. I mean,
it sounds like all films about soldiers, doesn't it, really?
But it's just, some films are just solidly good.
Yes.
William Devane, I recognised him from my mum watching Knots Landing during the 80s. Do you remember Knots Landing?
No. Do, 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 do. Oh, that rings a bell. Do, 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 do. I remember it all. Do, 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 do. I can see every frame.
It was a real proper soap opera when lots of people were getting killed and having affairs, like an alarming amount.
Right.
Like, what happens in EastEnders, speed it up.
There was always
a lot of drama in Knots Landing, I can tell you. I recognise him from that. He's been in loads of stuff. He's one of those...
Oh, yes, I've just looked him up.
He's got quite a distinctive face.
He does. He's in
quite a villainous face.
He's in The Dark Knight as the president.
Yes, he's been around for ages. A very good actor, someone you don't associate with being a lead. And also Tommy Lee Jones is in it. A very young Tommy Lee Jones, which is odd. But even at a young age, you can tell he's going to be a star because he just holds the script.
Ah, it's from 1977. I hadn't realised it's from
he
that far
totally
back.
He totally dominates the
Well, he was
screen.
An American football player before that, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah. Famously, I think I'm right in this. It's not an apocryphal
story. You're not thinking of O.J. Simpson?
No, I'm not. I mean, who was also an American football player. But Tommy Lee Jones was the jock who, in... I think at college, shared a room with Al Gore, who was the nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were roommates in college. And I've heard a great story about Tommy Lee Jones spot-kicking shoes on a film studio. Do you want to hear that story? I don't know if it's true.
No one
from the industry has told me. I just read it somewhere. But that before, I think it was on The Fugitive or Men in Black or something. It was one of his films. And the director and the crew were playing a game before they were ready to shoot on the studio lot of sitting in a chair, the director's chair, taking their shoe off and balancing it on their toes and then trying to kick it into a dustbin across the studio to see who got the closest to getting it in. and that none of them had quite got it, but some were getting close and they were getting quite excited. And they're waiting for the actors to come out of costume and makeup. Anyway, Tommy Lee Jones announces his arrival by, without even saying anything, suddenly a shoe flies over their heads, lands directly in the bucket, and he just goes, "Can someone get that for me?"
Great.
So fucking great.
I really like Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah. Anyway, this film was just... I love 70s and 80s films. I watch this on YouTube, the only place I could find it.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's 40 years ago now. 40 sure. years ago, can you believe
Everyone
it?
Everyone who made it's probably dead 40
they're all,
years.
They're all dead. It's just... It feels a bit like a TV movie at the start, probably because I associate William Devane, or whatever his name is, with Knots Landing.
Yeah.
And the actual feel of it doesn't feel like a big budget thing. And he's obviously quite tortured through going through this weird, being tortured by the Japanese and having odd flashbacks, and he finds out that his wife, you know, thought he was dead and is now seeing his going to get divorced and seeing his friends, you
right
know,
yeah yeah,
and his kid doesn't remember what he looks like, and he's handling it quite well, and you thought, he's handling it brilliantly. Things can't get any worse for this bloke. Yeah, they do. Something bad happens, and he ends up teaming up with Tommy Lee Jones and going on a sort of revenge.
So we've got a revenge theme in this week's episode.
I can't really get any to give away any spoilers, but it's just solid, a solid, good film. You know that occasionally you get the right blend of people together.
Yes,
and doesn't feel it's not spectacular anyway, and you sort of feel as though you've seen things in it before, so it feels quite familiar.
Yeah,
but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, good!
It was really great.
I mean, it's those are two good actors. And just watching them do. I mean, Tommy Lee Jones for me, it's all about The Fugitive. When people just went, "Oh, just let him do that. Let him do that, and he will always be good."
But he's not in it that much, you know.
Oh, is he not?
It's mainly the other guy,
right?
But
I just read in the trivia that Quentin Tarantino named his distribution company after this film, Rolling Thunder Distribution.
I don't know why I've not even heard of it before.
Well, they used to release cult classics and stuff, and went under.
Some scenes in it feel very reminiscent, obviously, like they inspired Quentin Tarantino.
Right, okay.
You've definitely got that feel of it. Uh-oh, that's not the...
Buddy, come here. Come here! He's just barking at the angry dog next door.
I was worried that was some sort of revenge, someone coming in to kill us both.
No, that very rarely happens. But Bud's right on it if it does.
Yeah, well, I sort of don't want to say too much more without spoiling it. But if you want to watch a good, solid 1977 film which works on all levels, this is a good choice. I mean, we're about to talk about a favourite revenge film, and he's mentioned Blue Ruin. I really love Blue Ruin.
Yeah, Blue Ruin's great. And the follow-up, well, not follow-up, but the next film from the same director, Green Room, which isn't a revenge film, but is still good, I think. I really like Green Room.
I found
Room.
It so brutal, Green
Oh, Room. It's horrendously brutal, yeah. But still, you know, sort of hypnotic to watch.
So if you want to watch I think it's been I've not even heard this film at all, anyone talk about this film other than this email. Rolling Thunder is a good old gem you can find on YouTube, and thank you very much for suggesting it.
Thank you Buck
Red Buck
Rod,
that can't be his real name.
Why not?
Buck Red Buck.
Yeah, I mean, Gary Neville's dad's called Neville.
Hmm. Wonder what Buck Rogers' dad was called.
Roger
Rogers.
Roger. So that's Buddy licking my
That's a good
hand.
Way to end, isn't it, on a dog licking.
And dog licking, fade to
cue, gent. Lovely. Well.
Well, that's it for this week.
One of the weirdest things.
If you'd like to get in touch and recommend any films, then please go to filmfandango.com and you can contact us from there. And also, we do all of this for free, so if you'd like to donate towards the show to keep it going, then go to filmfandango.com as well, and you can see what to do from there. And everyone who has, thank you. Thank you very much. We will be back next week with... He's attacking me. We'll be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.